Heart Class, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for listening. I hope you're enjoying this very fall-like day if you're here in where we're experiencing autumn. I'm in New York City right now, and it's November 2nd. Do you know what yesterday was? Yesterday was World Vegan Day. So October 1st is World Vegetarian Day, and all of the month of October, in addition to being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it's also Vegetarian Awareness Month. I would prefer to focus on the vegetarian thing than the breast cancer awareness thing. But moving on, November is Vegan Awareness Month or World Vegan Month or something like that. Anyway, it's worth celebrating and learning more about. So today we have some really interesting guests, lots of things to think about, and I want to bring my first guest on, Deborah Merlin. Her mission was to become an advocate for her special needs twins. Medical professionals only offered drugs. She sought alternative methods, did extensive ADHD and other health-related research, and kept impeccable records. In 1993, she co-chaired the West Side Cities Council to help promote Public Law 99457, Part H, to implement early intervention services from birth through 3 years of age for children at risk. In 1990 and 1991, she coordinated outreach to pediatricians under Public Law 99457 Part H and coordinated presentations at hospitals to educate pediatricians on early intervention services and resources for children at risk from infancy to 3 years of age. She is a frequent guest on radio shows throughout the United States and Canada. She is a consultant to parents who need support, provides resources regarding their children's individual needs, and she is an artist. Welcome to It's All About Food, Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, Karen.
Yeah. Well, I read your story, Victory Over ADHD, mm-hmm. and my heart was breaking the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
In between screaming.
It was quite a journey.
Quite a journey, and it seems so unnecessary, and it's so important that you're getting this information out, and I just think of the people that don't have this information and are still going through what you went through.
And this is one of the reasons why I wrote the book.
Yeah.
It's a journey, and it took many years to figure out what the best things were for treating their symptoms. And as I was doing my research and even writing my first book, I realized that I didn't know everything,
mm-hmm.
and I continued, and I still to this day am always learning more resources to share with parents, so it keeps on going.
Well, the good news is today in 2011 that we have the internet, and
yes.
Probably when you were just getting into this,
it
the
wasn't
information
there.
Wasn't,
no.
Yeah.
No, which probably made my journey a little longer,
mm-hmm.
but even with the internet, I'm surprised about how many parents still don't know what's causing their children's symptoms.
Yeah, they don't know or they don't want to know. Because as you, even though you learn things that helped your children, a lot of it, applying some of that knowledge wasn't easy.
That's true. But there are great tips that I can share for that. For example, with a diet. And I was the poster mother who did everything wrong when my kids were young. And they were both picky eaters, and they were very small for their age. They were skinny. And at this point, I was just trying to get them to eat anything.
Yeah, you're not a lot of parents do that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd read the cereal boxes, and it would say, fortify with vitamins. But those are synthetic vitamins, not real vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And in the cereal, there's also a lot of artificial food coloring and sugars and wheat, which all contribute to ADHD symptoms, particularly the hyperactivity.
Okay, so let's just back up a little bit. You were pregnant and
yes.
with twins, and they were born early,
Yeah, they were born 10 weeks early.
10 weeks early, and you had a difficult time the last 3 weeks or so before they were born.
Yes, I was in the hospital at strict bed rest. I went into early labor at 27 weeks. And so by the time I got to the hospital, I was already 1 centimeter dilated, and one of the twins was 90% of face, which means he was ready to come out. So I could not even get up to go to the bathroom. They had to put a catheter in me, and I had to lay in a bed that was where the back of the bed was lowered, so my head was down, lowered.
Very comfortable.
No, it wasn't, but it was worth it. Because I was able to carry them 3 more weeks.
Which really makes a significant difference in their development and their potential intelligence.
Absolutely. But it's still too soon.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is ADHD? It stands for?
Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And there's ADD without the hyperactivity.
Right. And a lot of people throw these things out and say they have it or their kids have it, and
They probably do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I grew up in New Jersey in the 50s and 60s and early 70s when the pesticide DDT was being sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually blogged about this on my website because I grew up with ADD. I had such a hard time focusing in class, and I think there were 2 contributing factors. I had many amalgam fillings in my mouth. And also, the pesticide DDT has been linked to neurological disorders.
Yep.
So I was particularly sensitive to both. I was outside a lot as a young girl, so I was always being exposed to DDT.
Well, a lot of things have changed since the end of World War II, when the chemical industry was really growing and developing, and they changed their focus from creating things that killed people, directly killed people, to creating things that were supposed to help us, but in the end really do harm us. And a lot of their focus was put into things like pesticides, herbicides, and food.
Right.
And we're now really starting to see, after several generations, what kind of horrible impact it's doing to our health.
Yes, and I'm surprised that the FDA hasn't taken more action as far as the food we're eating with the artificial food coloring.
Well, unfortunately, it's linked to a lot of money.
Yes.
So
yes,
they don't move very quickly in our best interest. But that's why your book and your story is so important, because people are responsible for their own actions. And whether or not the government approves things, we need to know what we're putting in our bodies.
That's
we
right.
need to know about our food and make informed, responsible choices.
Yeah.
So your twins were born, and you went through as from baby to toddler to young children to teenagers to adults, a whole journey of challenges.
Yes.
So they were born, and right away you had problems with one of them.
Yes, as I said, they were 10 weeks premature, and one of the twins actually did better than expected, being that premature. But the other twin did not as well, and he had underdeveloped lungs, which resulted in hyaline membrane disease. Mm-hmm. And he was in the NICU for 4 months. He was on the ventilator for a month and then on oxygen for a couple months before they weaned him off the oxygen. But he was labeled failure to thrive. So when we brought him home, he was failing to thrive. He would not take milk. I was pumping my breast milk at that point because their sucking refluxes weren't that great.
Right.
And I didn't know how much milk they were getting. So the only way I could measure it was pump my breast milk, put it in a bottle, and feed them. And he was only taking like 8 ounces a day and then throwing it up.
Mm.
So he was readmitted to the hospital 4 times after he was released. We finally hired a nursing agency to come in at night to gavage feed him, where they insert a tube through his nose down to his stomach.
Yeah, I've seen that done. It's really unpleasant.
Yeah, and it was particularly unpleasant for him because the first nursing agency was gavaging him with adult-sized feeding tubes.
Now, this is one of the spots in the book where I'm screaming. And,
yeah.
you know, the medical community, we can't live with them. We can't live without them.
Yes.
They certainly do tremendous things. Your children probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the medical community.
Absolutely.
And yet there are so many things that you say, what are you thinking?
But fortunately, the very last time we had a hospitalized him, the nurse who was working with him was also having a hard time feeding him.
Mm-hmm.
And she handed me a card of a nurse who specializes in high-risk infant care. And we hired her immediately. And the very first night she came to our house, she switched the feeding tubes from adult to infant.
Yeah.
And for the very first time in his life, the next morning he woke up smiling.
Yeah, amazing. You know, such a subtle little thing to make all the difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The adult-sized tubes were actually trapping air in his stomach and causing major discomfort.
Wow.
So he'd wake up very cranky every day. So. Yeah, that was just the beginning.
That was just the beginning, right.
Yeah.
So you've had just countless challenges with doctors and also with the schools. So the doctors, many of them just want to give children medication.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's all they know. That's what they learn in medical school.
And this was happening in the 90s, the early 90s that
yes.
you began this journey, and I remember John Robbins coming out with a book, Reclaiming Our Health. Did you happen to read that at the time, or
no.
were you aware of that book?
No, I was aware of nothing
yeah.
at the time. I was so consumed with just them surviving
yeah.
and meeting their needs, and I left my job to raise them, and it was overwhelming, just, you know, having two special needs children. But I was also fortunate because the right people showed up at the right time
mm-hmm.
to help me. So I did have help along the way. But it wasn't just their ADHD symptoms. It was asthma. It was food allergies. It was facial tics. It was irritability. It was a violent temper with no impulse control. I was dealing with all these different symptoms.
But aren't they all related?
Yes.
And they seem like different issues, but they all come down to what the children are putting in their bodies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so what, I know you discovered different things at different times, but what were things that you removed from their diet and what did you add to their diet?
That was the first part of my journey is and if you notice, a lot of ADHD kids have big circles under their eyes. They
mm-hmm.
tend to be allergic. And one of my twins had frequent ear infections, and he had constant fluid buildup in his ears. And I was taking him to an allergist, and they were getting environmental allergy shots twice a week.
Mm.
But she was always concerned that there was always fluid in his ears. So I was told about this Chinese doctor. And I told her I was going to take them to a Chinese doctor, and she warned me, you know, you have to be careful with these alternative doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So I took them, and the first thing he did was take my son off of milk. And he took both of them off of dairy
mm-hmm.
immediately. And it was so interesting because he sort of had, well, he had the autism label hovering over him as well as ADHD. And it turns out that the fluid in his ears were making it so he couldn't hear properly, which was making him appear autistic.
Right.
And as soon as the milk was removed, well, within a month, I took him back to the allergist, and the fluid was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And his symptoms disappeared. He became much more social. He was feeling great. He wasn't underwater anymore, so.
Well, what's interesting is there's a lot of knowledge with herbal medicine from the Chinese, and what's unfortunate is they are picking up a lot of our habits, and where they never consume dairy, the dairy
yes.
industry is growing quite a bit over in China. So as we're slowly learning
yes.
what it does to us, they're decades behind us.
That's true. And dairy has been linked to many diseases, such as cancer. And so we have to really become aware and actually do our own research. You know, go to Google and type diseases associated with dairy. You'd be shocked to see how many diseases are linked to dairy.
There's a lot of them.
And I work a lot with mothers and some dads, but mostly moms who have kids with ADHD. And so many of their kids had frequent ear infections. It's the dairy.
Yeah, it's not just kids with ADHD. It's a lot of children have ear infections, and doctors come up with shots and tubes in the ear.
Mm-hmm. Well, my doctor, our pediatrician, prescribed antibiotics.
Yeah.
So my kids were getting antibiotics for a dairy allergy. I mean, how dumb is that?
Mm-hmm.
And so from that resulted an overgrowth of yeast in their bodies. So they had gut issues, too. So one thing led to another. But I actually think what really began it all, of course, the prematurity, you would expect
probably
to be some delays.
Mm-hmm.
But they probably should have not gotten the vaccinations, because the baby's immune system is so immature anyway. It's not developed yet. But premature kids are more at risk for developing adverse reactions to the vaccinations. And I was always blaming everything on the prematurity, including their food allergies. But it turns out vaccines have also been linked to food allergies.
Right. So you didn't know this, I guess, in the beginning, and you just let the doctors give whatever vaccinations they wanted to. Did you have any?
I was totally clueless.
Yeah.
And another thing I have learned since is Tylenol, which is routinely given with the vaccinations so the kids don't run fevers, actually inhibits the liver from making glutathione, which detoxes from the heavy metals.
Oh, good.
And it's actually the Tylenol that can be triggering, like the autism and ADHD epidemic.
Wow, now that I never heard of.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
There's a lot of information coming out about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a contributing factor. And if the kids are running fevers, I was told by a naturopath doctor just this past weekend that it's better for them to have the fever because they're fighting something off. They're fighting an infection off.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. There's a lot of things that our body does to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Sweats and has fever.
Yes.
A variety of things. Even a runny nose or whatever. Sometimes it's better just to let it do its thing because it's just clearing its vitality.
That's it. I recently learned about a man who his Lyme disease was cured by running a very high fever when he got sick with pneumonia. He almost died.
Mm-hmm.
And when he recovered, the Lyme disease was gone.
Yeah, I've heard stories about really high fever killing off different problems people have had. There are a variety of different heat therapies, too, that people can look into,
but that's
a whole other subject.
Yeah. Well, and actually, it's interesting you mentioned that. Infrared saunas are very effective for detoxing.
Mm-hmm.
So and these kids tend to be toxic. Matter of fact, 20% of the kids in the United States who have ADHD actually have heavy metal toxicity, well, lead toxicity. Specifically, so when kids are showing up with these symptoms, they automatically should be tested for lead toxicity.
Hmm.
And it's easy enough to treat, to remove from the body. So, and of course, the mercury and cadmium are two other common heavy metals that show up with these kids.
There are so many different things that happen, and they all. One thing may happen because of the other, and then they all add to the pool of problems.
Yes.
So you have the prematurity, and then there were all of these other things that came into play because, unfortunately, what the children were being fed, and it confused the issue. And then also just, I mean, some of the things that children will do when they have autistic symptoms or similar is they'll chew on their toys.
Yes, and that's...
And what's in those toys that they're chewing on?
Especially 20 years ago, and even more recently.
Mm-hmm.
And all these toys are made in China.
Yeah.
So they're chewing on lead.
Yeah.
And plastic, which has a BPA chemical.
Right.
So, yeah, that's true. There's many things we need to look at.
You really have to constantly be out of the box and don't take anything for granted.
Yeah. And I'm sure your listeners, because they're listening to your show, are already thinking outside the box.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. But so as we went along the journey, as one of the twins, the one who was sick in the NICU, as he was getting older, his symptoms were getting worse. His facial tics were getting very severe, and he was developing a very violent temper with no impulse control. And at this point, I guess he was 10, 11 years old, and I went to see my acupuncturist, who happens to be a medical doctor, and I was complaining about my son and his irritability, and he suggested we do a QEEG on him, which is a quantitative computer analysis that measures brain activity, and we found out he was having seizures.
Oh, wow.
We didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So that really brought a lot of information to us.
And did you know how to, was there a way to reduce those seizures?
Yes. But what probably caused them, seriously, were the vaccinations. And so, and they weren't seizures like the grand mal where you fall down and swallow your tongue. It was, they're very subtle. The doctor described it as football players running at all different speeds in his, that's how his brain was moving, which can cause a lot of irritability.
Right.
So, my doctor, when he got the results, he didn't want to prescribe anti-seizure medicine because that also has a lot of side effects, including death. So he ordered an amino acid panel, and we found out his amino acids were really low. Within a few days of supplementing him with amino acids, all his symptoms vanished.
Is that crazy?
Everything.
Amino acids, building blocks of protein.
No more facial tics. And I'm telling you, his facial tics were bad. No more violent temper.
Wow.
His grades went from failing to A's and B's in a month.
Mm-hmm.
It just blew me away. And that's really why I wrote the book, because who would know? And I started asking people, do you know what amino acids are? And no one, I mean, a couple of smarter people would say, well, they're the building blocks of life. But beyond that, they really wouldn't. They couldn't tell you, or they knew, even the doctors.
Now, were these, or do you know, were some of these the essential amino acids that our body can't manufacture ourselves, or were these
both.
Some?
They were,
or they
both.
Were both.
They were both. I mean, the whole panel was low.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the other twin tested and myself, and we were lower than he was. So, but for some reason, it was just showing up in him differently. But I could not believe what impact it had on me and how better I felt once I started taking
now,
it.
So you started supplementing, I imagine, with amino acids.
Right.
But what about the diet?
Well, I had actually had already made great strides in correcting the diet before that.
Mm-hmm.
When they were 6, 7, they were off the dairy and off the artificial food coloring. But what was interesting, when we had just moved and we were at the market and it was hot out, so one of my sons talked me into buying the multicolored popsicles. And wow, was that a rude awakening.
Red number, yellow number, blue number.
Oh, God, the worst ingredients. They were climbing the walls by the time they were halfway done with the popsicles. I threw the whole box away. I said, never. But if that were me now, I would have taken that box back to the supermarket and demand my money back.
Or told them not to sell that to children.
Oh, it's,
and you know how crazy that is? I don't know if you've made your own popsicles or you can buy them in health food stores, but how hard is it to just freeze fruit juice? You know, they're great colors.
Right. You can just take organic fruit juice and freeze it.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I like to take ripe melons like honeydew or cantaloupe and put it in a blender and then freeze that in a popsicle stick.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Oh,
actually.
My God. That's so good because it gives it a little more heft. A little more chew.
Yeah. But again, you know, I appreciated all these lessons because I learned so much and I'm able to help other parents. And I still see parents in the market, you know, buying all these artificial food coloring cereals and cookies, and their kids are running up and down the aisles just like my kids used to.
Right.
So it's still happening.
You don't. Do you talk to them without, when they don't ask questions?
That's such a good question, because I was at a supermarket last year, and that happened where the woman behind me was hastily putting all her groceries on the conveyor belt, and she just complains to the cashier, "I'll be right back. I have to go get my son. He never listens to me." And she had 3 boxes of cereal with artificial food coloring.
Yep.
She had animal crackers with the artificial food icing with sprinkles and candy. And I looked at the cashier and I said, "He can't listen to her. His brain is starving."
Yeah.
And she says, "Well, you should tell her. You should tell her." And I said, "No, I can't, because my husband tells me not to proselytize." But what I did is I wrote an article on it and I had it published, because that way I could reach more parents. But in a way, I wish I had talked to her, because, but I don't know if she would have listened.
Well, what you're competing with, unfortunately, is millions and millions of dollars that go into marketing to children.
Yes. Yes.
And that it should be outlawed.
Yeah, all those commercials that they're watching with.
And the companies know what they're doing. They specifically market them to children to hook them for life.
Yes, yes. So these kids are eating dead food.
Yeah.
And it, of course, it affects their brain and how they focus. So just making some major adjustments in the diet can go a long ways in treating their symptoms. But I also think that all these kids should be tested for heavy metal toxicity. And they can do it with a hair clipping. My kids had elevated levels of lead, not an extreme range, but high enough that it could affect their IQ.
Yeah. So how old are your boys now?
They're 22.
And how are they?
They're well. They're both in college. One is working full-time. He's doing an internship for a movie studio.
Wow.
So they're thriving. They're doing great.
Well, what do they think about the work that you're doing in the book that you wrote?
Well, they're living their own life. They're when I wrote my first book, when the twins hugged me, said, "I'm really proud of you, Mom." But they're really not focused on that. But they're conscientious about their diets.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah. So that's really helped.
Do you have a website?
Yes, victoryoveradhd.com.
Oh, there we go, victoryoveradhd.com. Deborah, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you, and you're really a courageous woman and a courageous mother, parent, and your kids are lucky to have you. They chose you.
Yeah, they did. I chose them, too. But thank you, Karen. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to It's All About Food. We're going to take a very quick break, and then get out your wallets. We're going to start talking about what to do with your money with humane investing. We'll be right back.